Temptation is one of those subjects that we refer to every year during Lent. We hear the story of Jesus' temptation and his refusal to succumb. We think, of course, he's Jesus after all. Of course he wouldn't give in. Good for him. What a guy. He's fully divine. Of course he didn't give in. Didn't fall into the temptation. And that being the case, this doesn't really have anything to say to me at all, except that Jesus is a wonderful example of someone not at all like me who had the divine power to forego temptation. And there it is once again, the spiraling spread of the effects of giving in to temptation, the granddaddy of all temptations, the refusal to accept responsibility. Oftentimes, when we speak or think of temptation, we think of grand trials and threats to our essential moral fabric, when in reality, the most dangerous temptations are the ones we encounter on a daily basis. The ones that we're so easily able to rationalize away is no big deal in the whole scheme of things. Very rarely are we actually tempted to physically murder someone. Very rarely are we presented with an armored car full of unmarked money, handed the keys, no explanations, and no questions asked. More often, we're approached by a situation with someone asking for assistance. And perhaps we rationalize why we don't have the time or the resources to help, or convince ourselves of their unworthiness to be helped. We say things like, she'll just use the assistance I give her to buy drugs and alcohol. Or worse even, the last time I helped out, the person wasn't appreciative enough. Another devilish temptation that we frequently encounter is the temptation to hang on to feelings of ill will against people we feel who have somehow wronged us. We always have the option to start each moment fresh and without old grudges, but we seem to not want to let go of the past. We seem to be constantly tempted to retain those bad feelings. We perceive that we've been wronged, and no matter what we learn from the example of Jesus, we just don't want to let it go. We take one look at the person in need or that person who we think has in some measure wronged us, and we immediately decide that whatever their fate is, it is deserved. And we're certainly justified in our attitude and in our judgment. And we find ourselves then alongside our ancient ancestors, Adam and Eve, right outside the gate of the garden, looking back into the disapproving faces of two seraphim with torches and a very sad God. The gate is closed forever because we, just like our ancestors of origin, have done what we were told not to do. We have eaten of that tree. We have succumbed to the biggest temptation of all. We've made ourselves the judge and jury while at the same time not accepting responsibility for that judgment. We've tried to take the place of God. God didn't say, "Don't do these things just because I said so." God is not an arbitrary God who leads us merely for his own purposes. If that were the case, we would not have free will. God gave us the option to follow his way or not, to allow him to be the God of our lives or to do it ourselves. And the biggest temptation is just that, to act on our own without soliciting the guidance of God. This problem of refusing to accept responsibility has been a problem from the start. Imagine how things might have been different if Eve had said, "Hey God, can you come here for just a minute, please? I know you told me that if I should not eat of the fruit of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but the serpent keeps telling me that I should and that everything will really be okay. Can you tell me just one more time why I shouldn't?" Or if Adam had said, "God, I really made a mistake. I ate of that tree, and I know I wasn't supposed to. Can you possibly forgive me, wipe the slate clean, and let me try to do better? But that's not the way we work. We take the role of God. We accept a little bit of information that we have, make a judgment or a decision about it on our own without consulting God at all. If it happens on a daily basis, then we realize we've made such a mess of things and maybe even discover that we were wrong. And we find a way to defer the responsibility from ourselves. And then we call God to come in and fix our mess. Why are we so happy with the example of Adam and Eve and so unwilling to accept the example of Christ? It's definitely a hard example to follow. The example of Christ moves us around that inner push to self-aggrandizement and even security. It's so much easier to say, the devil made me do it, or I didn't mean to, than to say, I was wrong, or I'm sorry. It's so much easier to give in to temptation than to accept responsibility. It's so much easier to move Jesus away from us into a category of his own that is somehow different, to make him fully divine and therefore in no way like us. And if that's the case, his temptation was not real. And if that's the case, this whole thing is pointless. If Jesus was not tempted in every way as we are, then we're right in our judgment. But that's not the case. Jesus was tempted in every way as we are. He knew the real human temptation to be like God, to rely on oneself rather than on God. And who better qualified to do that than Jesus? But he did not. Each time the tempter came to him with a new temptation, he immediately turned to God and what he knew about God. He relied on scripture and on prayer and on God. He didn't say, you know, I think I know what's going on here. Here is how I will handle it. He removed himself and his desires from the equation and turned it all over to God. And that is our example. That is what we are called to do. And it sounds easy, and it can get easier, but it doesn't seem to come naturally. Naturally, we tend to rely on ourselves, but we can learn from practice to remove ourselves from the equation and rely on God. When we do that, we find that we don't need to make excuses for what we have done and left undone, nor do we need to ask for forgiveness nearly as often. We're still going to have moments when we fall short. These moments will be fewer, and we're still forgiven for those things for which we are truly sorry. But we find that when we live our lives relying on God and God's judgment rather than our own, we make much wiser decisions. We're guided then by the one who has all the information, not just our small human, often self-focused piece of the puzzle. Jesus came as one of us, was tempted in every way as we are, knows what we are faced with on a daily basis, how tempting it is to judge others and promote ourselves. He knows how tempting it is to pass the buck and to not be responsible. He has every idea of what the world is like and gives us the example to follow, an example of total reliance on God, a God who will never, ever let us down. Amen.